Okay, welcome to Masechta Sukkah. Today's daf is Sukkah daf Beis Amud Aleph. Today we're going to learn, the Mishnah is going to talk about the different qualifications of a sukkah in terms of its height, how tall it can be, how short it can be, how many walls it needs, how much sun and shade it needs, how much shade relative to how much sunlight it lets through. The Gemara is then going to give two reasons why it says, when it talks about a sukkah that's too high, why it uses the term pasul as opposed to by an eruv, by a mavoi, where it just uses the term yema'it, that you should make it lower. Then we're going to have three explanations why it is that a sukkah that's more than 20 amos is pasul. So that's going to take up the rest of Amud Aleph, and on the top of Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to explain why each of the shitos didn't want to say like the other shitos, and then we're going to connect three different statements of Amoraim to the various reasons that a sukkah l'mayla michaf ama is pasul. And then toward the end of Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to bring a raya from the story of Hilani Amalka eating with her seven sons in a sukkah, in a tall sukkah that the machlokas is even in a sukkah gedola, that we're going to see that the machlokas in our Mishnah about how tall a sukkah can be even applies to a sukkah that has a significant width as well, that has significant area as well. So let's begin the Mishnah. Actually, before we begin the Mishnah, the first word of the Masechta is sukkah. So we already know that the Mishnah is going to start talking about a sukkah. It's not going to start with the halachos of dalad minim. So right away, the achronim are a little bit bothered. The Aruch Lener raises the question, why would the Mishnah start with dinei sukkah before it starts with the halachos of dalad minim? Pasuk vayikra perachav gimel, pasuk mem says, ulekachtem lechem b'yom arishon. And then two psukim later, pasuk mem beis, pasukos teshu shivas yamim. The way the Torah has it is we speak about dalad minim, and then we speak about sukkah. So why are all the halachas of sukkah in the mesechta before the halachas of dalad minim? So furthermore, the halachas of dalad minim are shorter than the halachas of sukkah. So you would imagine that as the Gemara in Shavuos Daf Gimel says, "Aidi dezutri pasuk v'sharilahu," that you would think that which is smaller, that which is shorter, we would begin with first. So the Aruch Lener mitarets that the halachas of sukkah that we are discussing over here are not the halachas of yeshivas sukkah; they are halachas of binyan sukkah. When you make the sukkah, when you build the sukkah, this is what you need to do in order to make sure that you have a kosher sukkah. Now that happens before the yomtov of sukkah. So we're just going in chronological order. When a person has to approach the yomtov, what do you need to worry about first? You need to worry about building a sukkah, so it comes first. Not only that, even if it were the halachos of yeshiva b'sukkah, well, yeshiva b'sukkah happens before dalad minim, because yeshiva b'sukkah is done at night already. Dalad minim doesn't happen till the next day. Paras Yosef gives a different answer. He says that the dinim of dalad minim sometimes are not knowing at all min haTorah bizman hazeh, because the halacha is that on the daraisa level, only in the mikdash you need to take dalad minim for 7 days. Outside of the mikdash, you only need to take a lekachtam lechem biyom harishon. And mishum gzeira de rabba, we have a din that if the first day of sukkah falls out on Shabbos, we don't take dalad minim. So there are years where we are not mekayim the mitzvah of dalad minim idaraisa at all. But sukkah, we're always mekayim idaraisa each and every year. So we want to start off with the mitzvah that is going to be shayuch each and every year. It's going to be nogeya each and every year on a daoraisa level. So says the Mishnah, sukkah she gaval l'mala me'asr mama, psula. A sukkah that's more than 20 amos tall is pasul v'Rabbi Yehuda makshir, but Rabbi Yehuda says it's kosher. So that's machlokas number one. A sukkah above 20 amos, Tanakama says no good, Rabbi Yehuda says good. V'sheinu gaval asar tzvachim, v'sheinu l'shalash tzvachanos, v'shachamasum ru mitzilasa, psula. Other pasla sukkahs include a sukkah that's less than 10 tefachim tall, a sukkah that doesn't have three walls, and a sukkah that has more chama than tzel, that lets in more sunlight than it lets in shade. So these are all psulim. Why is a sukkah that lets in more sunlight than it has shade pasul? So says Rashi, hamuat batal berov, v'areu kamisha eno. If the rov is sunlight and the miut is shade, so the miut is batal in the rov, it's ki'ilu, the whole thing is sunlight, so there is no schach at all, and al shem ha'schach kriya sukkah, the schach simply doesn't exist. fret the stipler in Siman Aleph of in Kilis Yaakov on Sukkah, how could you say Bittel Barov when the miut is Nikr Bifnei Atzmo? Bittel Barov is Shaykh when you have a Taroves, when you have a mixture of two things where the miut is no longer Nikr because it gets swallowed up by the Rove. You look up to the ceiling of your Sukkah, no matter how little Schach you have there, it's very Nikr, it's more Nikr than the sunlight, it's right there, it's right in front of you. So the stipler points out that you have to say that what we're talking about over here is not really bittel barov. What we're really saying is the din of rubo kikulo, that even when the miut is nikr b'fnei atzmo, like when you're shachat rov shnei simanim, the halach is when you shacht an animal, so you have to cut through rov of the simanim. So the din, it's not that the miut that's not cut is not nikr. You certainly see that it's not totally severed, that it's not fully cut all the way through. But it's a din of rubo kikulo, that when you get the majority, it's kilu, you have the whole thing. So over here also, it's not a din of bittel barov, says the stapler. That lashon of Rashi is lav davka. It's really a din of rubo kikulo, that the majority is sunlight, so that makes it as if kulo is sunlight, as if the entire thing is sunlight. Svasema says a little different. He says that that's why the Ran writes that Rashi doesn't mean that the schach is batal barov, but that the shade is batal barov chama, because the shade is something that's ein bo mamish. It's not something that's substantial. So you could say that that's misbatal, that that's ki'ilu, it's not nikra at all. That's more of a din of bittel barov. That's how the Svasema understands to be metaretz for Rashi. Now we also said over here that a sukkah that's less than 10 tefachim tall is pasul. Now the Gemara is going to say that this halacha of 10 tefachim is one of the dinim of mechitzos, that it's halacha l'moshe m'sinai. The Gemara is going to say shiur mechitzin v'chatzitzin are all halacha l'moshe m'sinai. So halachas of mechitzos are all halacha l'moshe m'sinai. The Gemara has an erev in davdal that we learn from this shiur of mechitzos, that for mechitzos of Shabbos to make an area into a Sayachid, you need it to be 10 tefachim. So one would imagine, if it's halacha l'moshe m'sinai, and it's a din of mechitzos, and it applies to mechitzos sukkah and mechitzos of Shabbos, that the dinim of mechitzos ha-sukkah and the dinim of mechitzos ha-shabbos would align perfectly, that you'd have all the same dinim to determine what is a mechitza in sukkah and what is a mechitza in Shabbos. But we're going to see a Gemara in a couple of days from now, that if you have a mechitza of a sukkah that's made up of two parts, let's say you have a wall that's less than 10 tefachim tall, let's say it's 6 tefachim tall, and then you have dug into the ground a hole that's, let's say, 5 tefachim deep, so you between the two you have 11 tefachim, but the wall needs to be within 3 tefachim of the sfas habar, of the edge of the hole that you have dug in the ground. Otherwise they're not mitzarif to create a mechitza. They can only be mitzarif to create a mechitza, these, the wall and the lower area, if they're within 3 tefachim of each other, because then they're considered one continuous unit. If they're more than 3 tefachim apart from each other, it doesn't work like that. Tosfos just points out that by Shabbos we don't say that. By Shabbos the halacha is, the Tosfos points out, bayishem b'toch hasara v'chakuk bo la'shlima la'asara, we don't make a chiluk whether it's within 3 tefachim or not within 3 tefachim, that it's always mitztarif. So why is it that there's a difference? So Tosfos' answer is a little bit difficult to understand. Rav Soloveitchik points out that maybe based on something his grandfather said, based on Reb Chaim, we can understand very well. There is a well-known Reb Chaim in the 17th Parak of Hilchos Shabbos. The Rambam paskins that b'kol osin l'chaim, you can make a lechi to be matir a mavoi out of anything. V'afilu b'yisurei hana, you can make a lechi. And he says, lechi ovyo kol shuhu, it doesn't have to have any thickness to it. The height has to be 10 tefachim. Now the Rambam allows a lechi shel ashera, because there's no minimum size to a lechi. It could be even very tiny. So what, normally when we wouldn't allow something to be made out of ashera or out of avodah zarah, it's because there's a concept, kitusei mechta shiurei, that we view it as if it's not a substantial shear, as if it's chopped up into a bunch of little pieces. So says the Rambam, a lechi only needs to be this thick anyway, so who cares if kitusei mechta shiurei? So view it as if it's chopped up into a bunch of little pieces, it's so thin anyway. So everyone asks on the Rambam, the Ravid asks on the Rambam, yeah, but it's got to be 10 tefachim high. So shouldn't kitusei mechta shiurei ruin the lechi? If it's got to be 10 tefachim high, it should be viewed as if it's not 10 tefachim high. So Chaim famously explained that there's no din that the lechi has to be 10 tefachim high. the area that's mukaf has to be 10 tefachim. In Hilchos Shabbos, the halacha of a mechitza being 10 tefachim high, or a lechi being 10 tefachim high, is not a din in the mechitza, nor is it a din in the lechi. It's a din in the area that's being surrounded by mechitza or by lechi. So whether the mechitza itself is viewed as one unit that's 10 tefachim tall, or a bunch of tiny little pieces that happen to be near each other, is irrelevant. As long as the area that is being surrounded is 10 tefachim tall, that's good enough. But, says Reb Chaim, that's when it comes to mechitzos of Shabbos. But when it comes to mechitzos of Sukkah, we know that a Sukkah requires three walls, and there are dinim of the walls themselves. The walls themselves are part of the Hechsher HaSukkah, and therefore, the walls themselves need to be 10 tefachim tall. It's not just the area that's mukaf mechitzos needs to be 10 tefachim tall. So he says, now we understand very well why it is that by Sukkah, the wall, in order to have a continuous wall of 10 tefachim, the two parts of the wall need to be within 3 tefachim of each other, because it needs to be, it's a din in the wall, and it needs to be one continuous wall of 10 tefachim. But by Shabbos, there's no such requirement. As long as the area that's being surrounded by wall, whether it's a single wall of 10 tefachim tall, or whether it's a half wall that's 5 tefachim and another half wall that's 5 tefachim, as long as the area surrounded by mechitzos is 10 tefachim tall, that would be good enough. That's how he's masbir the chilik between this din of 10 tefachim and the din of 10 tefachim that we have by Shabbos. Let's see the Gemara. So, Tzran Hasan. We learned in the Mishnah in Erevin, Mavoi Shu Gavoa Master Mama, if you have a Mavoi that's more than 20 amos tall, so the halachi is Yema'it. You have to make sure that it's lower. It can't be more than 20 amos tall. Rabbi Yudah Omer Eino Tzarech. Rabbi Yudah says, nah, it's not necessary to make it shorter. It's fine the way it is. So Maishna Gabe Sukkah Detani Psula Umaishna Gabe Mavui Detani Takanta. It's the same machlokas. Lamal Mechaf Amo Baye Sukkah, Lamal Mechaf Amo Baye Mavui. Tanakama says, no good. Rabbi Yudah says, it's fine. But the language is different. Why is it that by Sukkah we use such a strong lashon? Psula, it's bad, it's no good. Whereas when it comes to Mavoi, we don't say it's bad, we say, you might, here's how to fix it. You should make it lower, move the beam a little bit lower, or move the ground level a little bit higher. The Gemara says in Erevin that would also work. Move the ground level a little bit higher. Make sure that it's not more than 20 amos off of the ground, and then you solve the problems. So why the difference in language? The Gemara has two answers. Number one, says the Gemara, Sukkah da'oraisa tani psula, mavid rabbanon tani takanta. Since Sukkah is a din da'oraisa, that's why it says pasul, the stronger lashon. Mavu, which is drabanan, uses the lashon of how to fix it. Rashi explains, what does that mean? That psula implies that it's a statement of fact, that it is and always has been, something like this is and always has been, pasul. You could say that about a din d'oraisa, but when you're dealing with a din d'rabbanan, it hasn't always been pasul, there hasn't always been a problem, till the chacham came along and made it a problem, it wasn't a problem. So the rabbanan are telling you, well, we have this idea that we want to say that if it's more than chaf ama, if the korah of the mavui is more than 20 amos tall, you shouldn't have it like that, and therefore here's what you should do with it. But they can't say as a statement of fact that it's pasul, because there was no fact that it was puzzle until they came along and made it puzzle. That's how Rashi understands. Tosfos understands, no, the difference between the Drabanan and the Daraisa is that when it comes to the Daraisa, we need to be more absolute in our language, because if people think, it's not so serious and they can get away with it, they're going to end up violating it in Daraisa. Whereas by a Drabanan, they're not going to end up violating it in Daraisa if they get the wrong impression. Yeah, but still, why would we want to give them the wrong impression? We don't want to give them the wrong impression, but we use a Lashon that's more of a nicer Lashon. The Gemara Pesach says that you're always supposed to speak a lashon nekiya, so psula is very strong. We don't want to come out too strong, so we like to speak in a softer way. So we say yemait. We tell people how they can fix it. So we're willing to risk that minor risk that people might not really understand just how serious it is, and might end up with a korah that's more than 20 amos off the ground. We're willing to risk that to speak nicely. But when we're playing with fire, when we're dealing with a din d'oraisa, we're not willing to take any such risks. That's how Tosfos understands the chiluk. That's one understanding of Tosfos. Another understanding Tosfos has is that the lashon of yema'et sounds like a chumrah drabanan, whereas psula sounds like it's daraisa. That's what Tosfos says. Unclear what that means, though. Tosfos says, "Inami yesh lomer the lashon yema'et mashma chumrah drabanan bi'alma, upsula mashma daoraisa." Why is that? Why is it that the word pasul sounds daraisa, yema'it sounds rabbanan? So Rav Shachter explained in the first day of Shir when we learned Sukkah, he explained based on the Nesivus in Reish Lamed Aleph. There's a well-known comment of the Nesivus. There is a concept of an Isra Gavra versus an Isra Cheftza. Where does this come up in the Torah that there's a din of a Gavra versus Cheftza? So in Brisk Olam, this comes up in every breath person takes a gavra and chefza spill. But where does it actually come up in Shas? That there's a difference between a gavra and a chefza. So it applies by nedarim that a person takes a neder versus a nedavi. You could say behema zu carbon, that this behema is a carbon, that's a din in the chefza. Or you could say a lie lahavi carbon, that I take upon myself to bring an animal as a carbon, that's a din in the gavra, it's a din in the person. So the Nesivus discusses, what about all the other Yisurim in the Torah? Good, so we know if I say a lie, then it's a din in the gavra. If I say zu, it's a din in the chefza. That's by Nedarim. What about every other Isur in the Kala Torah Kula? Do we assume that chazer is an Isur chefza, that there's the chefza shel chazer is asur to me, or that it's an Isur gavra? So the Nesivus says the following rule, that when it comes to Yisurim da'oraisa, it's a din in the chefza. Because what does it mean that it's an Isra Chefza? It means when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he built into the Bria characteristics of Isra in this object, in this item. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do that. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make a Chefza fundamentally Aser. What can the Rabbanan do? Well, Yasser, we're not allowed to veer from what the Rabbanan tell us. But the Rabbanan can't change nature. They can't take this and turn it into a Chefza Shalisser. You know what they could say? They could say, you can't eat that. They could say that I'm not allowed to have it. That would make it an Isser Gavra. So every Isser Daraisa is an Isser Chefza. Every Isser Darabanan is an Isser Gavra. So Rav Shachter thought, maybe that's what Tosfos is driving at over here. When it comes to an Isser Daraisa, what does it say? Psula. It's a statement of fact about the Sukkah. This Sukkah is a Chefza that is a Pasul of Sukkah. Because that's what we're dealing with the Daraisa. You could say that the Chefza is Pasul. When it comes to a Drabanan, we can't make any declarations about the Mavu. We can't make any declarations about the Korah that it's Pasul. There is no such thing as Dine Chefza by Daraisas. What can we say? What you can do about it. Yema'it. It's a din on you. It's a din on the Gavra. So we can say such an idea that a person needs to be Mima'it the item. The one thing that doesn't fit, Tosla says, is by Ner Chanukah Lamala Me'asra Mama, the lashon is psula in Masechus Shabbos. Our Gemara makes this chiluk that when you're dealing with the Rabbanans, it's always going to say yema'it. Why don't you say yema'it by Ner Chanukah? Ner Chanukah is obviously only a din Rabbanan, yet it says the lashon of psula. So Tosfos points out, yeah, that's because by Ner Chanukah yema'it isn't true. It doesn't work. If you have a Ner Chanukah lamala mechavama and you then move it to lower than chavama already lit, if you hold hadlaka as a mitzvah, so it's too late. You can't be maniach it lamata mechavama. It would be possible if you hold hadlaka as a mitzvah. So that's why it has to say psula by Ner Chanukah. Okay, so that's one answer of the Gemara. Why you use the lashon of pasul over here, not the lashon of yemait? V'yibay yaseima, b'daraisa nami tani takanta. No, maybe really on daraisas, we are willing to tell you what to do about it. Miu suka d'nafesh mili pasuk v'tani psula. Mavid lo nafesh mili tani takanta. But over here by sukkah, there are several halachos in this Mishnah. There's a halach of a sukkah that's too tall, a halach of a sukkah that's too short, a halach of a sukkah doesn't have enough walls, halach of a sukkah doesn't have enough schach. If we're going to tell you how to fix it, we would need to tell you how to fix all of these things. And l'olim mishan adam talmid darach ktsara, again quoting from the beginning of Maseches Psachim, where we say that a person is always not only supposed to speak in a lashon nekiya, in a clean and pleasant way, a person is also supposed to speak when teaching Torah in the most direct and clear way, so in the briefest possible way. So we don't want to go into a whole chadgadi over here about how to fix all of these problems. So that's why it tells us psula. That's a simple thing. That's one simple word that could address all the four cases in our Mishnah. But by the Mishnah about Mavoi, there happen to be many detailed halachs about a Mavoi as well. But the first Mishnah in Erevin only deals with one of them. It only deals with Lamala Mechavama. So since it only deals with the Lamala Mechavama, so it's easy. It could say Yema'it for the same price, for one word, it could tell us how to fix it also, not just that it's a problem. And that would be ideal if one word could tell you not just that it's a problem, but how to fix it. That's the best. We just can't do that over here because it would take too much. It would take too many many details of how to fix each of these different halachas. Good, so those are the two reasons why we use the term psula. But the bottom line is, Tanakama holds that it is possible if it's more than 20 amos. So, frankly, Gemara minani mili. How do I know that that's true? Why is it that a sukkah that's lamala mechaf amah is in fact possible? So, Gemara says that there are three explanations of Amoraim, what the problem is. Number one, Amar Rabbah, the Amar Krab Pasuk says, Laman Yedu Doroseichem Kibasukos Hoshafti Esmene Yisrael. The Pasuk says that we sit in sukkos so that Yedu Doroseichem, the future generations, will know Kibasukos Hoshafti Esmene Yisrael, that we sat in sukkos when we were in the Midbar. So, Ad Esmama Adam Yodea Shudar Besukkah. Laman Esmama Ein Adam Yodea Shudar Besukkah Mishum Dol Shalta Ba'ena. That up until 20 amos, a person might realize that he's sitting in sukkah. Once it's more than 20 amos away, a person's not even going to realize that he's sitting in a sukkah, because he doesn't even see the schach. He just sees these walls, because the walls are so high. So that's why in lamala mechaf amah is possible. There's a lack of yediya when you're sitting in the sukkah. Mar Chesha has a gevaldik chiddush in Chelakal Simin Yuches. He says, it turns out, according to Rabbah, whenever a person has a suffek about the hechsher sukkah, about whether his sukkah is kosher or not, he's memela not yotze, because he has no yediya. There's a din laman yedu doroseichem, and without the yediya that you're sitting in a sukkah, one is not yotze. So even if it turns out mitzad adin that it was kosher, or that it should be kosher, because let's say it's a svek sveka, you have a svek sveka about the sukkah, so svek sveka on a darai, so we could be mekel with, right? But no, if you don't have yediya berura that it's a kosher sukkah, mele you're not yotze. What do you mean?
Because with the 20 amos, he knows that it's a sukkah. It's the other people that don't know it's a sukkah. It's not apparent to the public that it's a sukkah.
Well, you're sitting there, you wouldn't easily recognize. So you're saying it's not even a din in yediyah, it's a din in recognition.
If you have a suffix that other people still think it would be a sukkah.
If you are, so what we're saying over here is that there's a sefek in din, that it's a svek sveka in terms of machloksim that aren't resolved, or, meaning it's a svek sveka to everybody. It's such a sukkah, it would be totally on a svek sveka. So normally you would think that we could be mekel, but he says it's a lack of yediyah, that you're sitting in sukkah. So he's mechadish based on this. If a person sits in a sukkah, makes a bracha on it, and then there's some sort of sefek in the hechshur of the sukkah, so while he's there, they fix it. They fix whatever the shaila it is that comes up. So he says you have to say another bracha. I suffik brachas lahakel. Maybe it was kosher the first time, but you didn't have a yediyah the first time. So if there's no yediyah the first time, you for sure weren't yotzei, and therefore you have to make a new bracha. It's a gevaldik, a chiddush of the Mar Cheshes that there would be such a din to ad kidei kach. There's also this idea of yediyah is that the geder is not 100% clear. What it means, l'man yedu doroseichem, how much yediyah does a person have to know? There's a comment that the Bach has, the Torah, there's machlokas later on in the Masechet and Dafir Aleph, machlokas tanaim, where the reason we sit in Sukkos is to commemorate Sukkos Mamish that we sat in the Midbar, or to commemorate the Anane Akavod. The Tur paskins in that Machlokas. So the Bach is bothered. Why would you paskin in that Machlokas? It's not gadat Machlokas. Tur is a halacha sefer. Why would you paskin on, you know, what exactly the Sukkos represent? It's a nice Machlokas, not gadat, but it has nothing to do with halacha. So says the Bach, maybe it has everything to do with halacha. Maybe the idea is that l'man yedu doroseichem, that part of the key of mitzvah of Sukkah, where there's other mitzvahs, the kavanah that's necessary to fill a mitzvah is just kavanah that you're doing, mitzvah Hashem Yisparach. You don't need to have any more kavanah than that. Kavanah for the meaning of the mitzvah, whatever, you'll say the mitzvah without kavanah for the meaning and the symbolism and all the rest of the mitzvah. But maybe the din of L'man Yedu Doroseichem tells us that the kavanah by Sukkah is a higher level of kavanah, that you need to have kavanah for the symbolism of the mitzvah, for the meaning of the mitzvah. That's L'man Yedu Doroseichem. Also, Rav Soloveitchik points out in Harei Kedem, Sim Kuf Tazayin, the Tosim Psachim Dav Kuf Ches raises the question why it is that we don't say women are chayiv in sukkah because of afein hayibos hanes. We say women are chayiv in dal kozos, in Megillah, in Chanukah, afein hayibos hanes. Why not say the same thing by sukkah? So Tosim has an answer that we never say it by dinim darai, so we only say afein by dinim drabanan. Salvech says maybe there's a more pashut answer. Maybe we're not gonna say it. We only say afein hayibos hanes by a mitzvah that's all about persume nisa. He says the mitzvah of sukkah is not about persuminisa. The sibas ha-mitzvah, the reason we have the mitzvah, may be because we had a nes of an aniyah kavod or the sukkahs mamish HaKadosh Baruch Hu sat us in, but that's not the nature of the fulfillment of the mitzvah. The way we fulfill the mitzvah is not bederech persuminisa. It's not our business to be mefarsem the nes. It's our business to sit in the sukkah. Whereas by Ner Chanukah, by Dal Kosos, by Mikra Megillah, the whole inyan is a din in being mefarsem the nes. And he says a good way to tell whether a din is persuminisa versus just a zecher to the nes or comes because of the siba of the nes is whether there's a separate bracha all about the nes. By Ner Chanukah we have a bracha shasa nisim. By Mikra Megillah as well. By Dal Kosos there isn't, but that's because there's a bracha vashar galanu. There's always a separate bracha that relates to the nes when you're dealing with a nes related miracle. So with the nes related mitzvah. So persuminisa related mitzvah. So he points out. So even though we have this din that lamala michafam is possible because leman yedu dorasechem, he says ein ze ela yalfusa bi alma shetzarich she nikerlo sheyoshu b'sukkah. That's just a limud that it has to be recognizable that you're sitting in a sukkah, but it's not a chiyuv to know that the nes of besukas hashavti while you're actually sitting in it, meaning exactly the opposite of what the Bach says, right? That it's not. There's no actual din that you need to be thinking about the miracle while you're sitting in it. It's just a din of yediyas hasukkah that you know that you're in a sukkah. You should be cognizant of the fact that you're in a sukkah when you're in the sukkah. Okay, so that's answer number one. Rabba's answer again that it's a din of leman yedu dorasechem. If it's more than 20 amos high, you're not going to have that yediyah. Answer number two, Rabbi. That the sukkah has to be for shade. So if the sukkah is less than 20 amos, you're sitting in the shade of the schach. If the sukkah is more than 20 amos tall, you're more than likely sitting in the shade of the walls and not sitting in the shade of the schach. Amalei Abaye, Sabaye asks on Rabbi Zera, Elameata, Hosa Sukaso, Bashros Karnaim, Hakanami Dlavi Sukkah. Let's say you build a sukkah in between two giant mountains where the almost all day long the entire shade that you're getting is from the surrounding mountains. You're not getting the shade from the walls or the schach, it's just from the surrounding mountains. So you can say you're not going to be Yosef the Mitzvah. It's impossible to be Yosef the Mitzvah of sukkah in a valley. So it says, Amalei, Hasam Dal Ashros Karnaim Ikatzal Sukkah, Hacha Dal Defanos Lakatzal Sukkah. No, what we're saying is, that structurally it has to be something that could provide shade. If you were to remove those mountains, can this structure provide shade from its schach? So if the answer is yes, that's called sel sukkah, even though practically you're not actually getting the shade of the schach, you're getting the shade of the mountains. It's a din in the structure of the sukkah itself, not a din in where you're actually getting your shade from. Haraya, Svasemis points out, what if you have a sukkah that's less than 20 amos tall, and there is tzel of the schach, but you sit right next to the wall, in the time where the sun is on the other side of that wall. So you're sitting right next to the wall. So you're getting all your tzel from the wall. You're not getting all your tzel from the schach. Does a person have to be careful to look at the shadows before he goes into the sukkah and make sure that he's not sitting in the shadows of the wall and he's only sitting in the shadows of the schach? No, obviously there's no such din. Once the sukkah is kosher, the sukkah is kosher. So even if you sit by the walls, that's going to be completely fine. So Asamish just points out that what if the only kosher schach you have is near the walls, that toward the center of the sukkah it's pasul schach. So even though you have enough kosher schach maybe to count it as a kosher sukkah, but if the only tzel schach that you're getting is from the pasul schach, so maybe then it wouldn't be so good, even though you have kedei hechsher sukkah near the walls. What? Doesn't sound that way. So that's answer number two. So again, we had Rabbah who says it's a din of the man yedu dor sechem. Rabbi Zeru says it's a din in the tzel of the schach. V'Rava Amar Me'acha. Rava, answer number three. V'sukos teishu shuvas yamim. The halacha is you have to sit in sukos for 7 days. Amar Torah kol shuvas yamim. Same mediros keva v'shav mediros sarai. For 7 days you should leave your permanent home and go into a temporary home. So we learn ades shemama adamos adiraso diras sarai. L'mal miyashemama in adamos adiraso diras sarai el adiras keva. If you're building a structure that's less than 20 amos tall, so it's reasonable and normal that it would be made as a temporary structure. But any structure that you're building that's more more than 20 amos tall is most likely a diras keva. It's something that would be a much more permanent type of structure, and that would be a violation of sukkah being diras arai. That's why it can't be more than 20 amos tall, because more than 20 amos tall is too significant of a structure. It would be more of a diras keva than a diras arai. So Amalei Abaye asks on this one also. Elameata asam mechitza shel barzel v'sicha chal gaban hachinam dav sukkah. So is this a limitation on what you're allowed to make your walls out of? If you make walls out of iron, you make very, very strong walls, does that mean that your sukkah is going to be puzzle because it's a diras keva? No, we don't mean to say that you're not allowed to have a sound structure or a very strong structure for your sukkah. No, all we meant to say is that if a person makes a sukkah that's less than 20 amos, where it's normal to make it a diras arai, even though you personally happen to have made it a diras keva, that's fine. A person is still yotze the mitzvah in that way. But when it's more than 20 amos tall, where the normal way to make a structure more than 20 amos tall is to make it a permanent type of structure, so if you made it as a diras arai, you're not going to be yotze, because even if you made a flimsy 25 amos tall sukkah, bottom line is that's the type of sukkah that would normally be a diras keva, and mela that's possible. Frak Tosos and Dibra Maskel Ki over here in the bottom Tosos. So why does the Gemara say in Tainus that Gushamim, that rain, is a simon klala b'chag? Well, we assume that if it rains on Sukkot, that's a simon klala. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us he doesn't want our mitzvahs to go inside. You can't sin in the Sukkah now because the rain is coming into the Sukkah. Why is it a simon klala? If you're allowed to make your Sukkah as a diras keva, it's just you're not allowed to make it more than 20 amos tall. But technically you can make it a diras keva. So can't you just make it a diras keva and block out all the rain? And therefore it will then be kosher, and then it's not going to be a simon klala when it rains, because you won't even notice when it's raining. The rain's not going to come into your sukkah at all. So Tosfos says, even though that's a din, what we're saying over here, that you could have keva, that's a din in the defanos. It's not a din in the schach. The defanos of the sukkah can be strong. You can make mechitzel shel barzel. Yeah, gesuntay, that's fine. You can make as much as you want, as strong as you want, the defanos. But the schach has to be made ba'ofen arai. And if the schach is made ba'ofen keva, then it's going to be a pasul sukkah. So the schach has to be made in such a way that it allows rain to fall into the sukkah. That itself is a machlokas rishonim. Whether the sukkah has to allow rain to come in. Tosos again says sukkah that a rain doesn't go into it is going to be possible. And there's a shitas Rabbeinu Tam quoted by the Agos Maimoni, and the Torah also quotes that sukkah that's very thick, that rain won't, the schach that's so thick that rain won't be able to enter into, is possible. But the Achronim argue whether he means that it's possible midaraisa or only midrabanan. The Taz thinks that it's only psul midrabanan. Prim Gadim assumes that it's psul daraisa. So it could be that that's not a puzzle on a daraisa level. But anyway, that's how Tosfos Matar. It would have to be daraisa in order to say that it's a simon klala. Right? To say it's a simon klala, you have to say that it's a problem on a daraisa level. That's on a HaKadosh Baruch Hu level. It's a problem what the din of HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. So anyway, so those are the three. So on Amud Aleph, the basic summary is three explanations why Sukkah L'mal Mechaf Amah is a problem according to the Tanakama. We have Rabba who says L'man Yedu Dorasechem, Rabbi Zeru says din in the tzel, and Ravu says it's a din in the permanence of the structure. Says the Gemara, why does each one not want to say like the others? So Kulu Karaba Lo Amri, the others don't want to say like Rabba that it's a din in Leman Yedu Dorosechem, because Ahu Yedia Ledorosi. Leman Yedu Dorosechem is not about Yeshiva B'Sukkah to realize that you're sitting in a Sukkah. That's Yedia Ledoros. Says Rashi, what does that mean? Ahu Lav B'Yedia the Yeshiva Sukkah Kamar, Ela B'Yedias Doros Abba in Hek of Sukkos Anani Kavan Hanasa La. It means that we should always realize in future generations why we're sitting in sukkahs. We should realize that our forefathers sat in Ananei HaKavura. They sat in sukkos mamish. It's that recognition that we should have l'doros. The Ananei HaKavura that we have that were nasa li avos. It's interesting. Rashi doesn't quote sukkos mamish. right? It's the ideal of Doros that that the heck of Sukkos Ananei HaKavod. We should always remember the Ananei HaKavod. It's Machlokas. Machlokas Tanaim. Rabbi Akiva says it's to remember Sukkos Mamish, and Rabbi Lazar says it's to remember Ananei HaKavod. Okay, so Rashi picks one Shita, but Lechari picks the wrong one, because in general, whenever you have Machlokas, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Lazar Shemutehu. We always talk Halach Rabbi Akiva Mechavero. First of all, there's one call in Halacha that whenever Rabbi Akiva argues on a single individual, we always pass on like Rabbi Akiva. And another call in Halacha, we never pass on like Rabbi Lazar. And yet Rashi quotes the sheet of Rabbi Lazar and not the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. It's interesting, in the Torah, in the Shulchan Aruch also picks the Halacha of the sheet of Rabbi Lazar. Remember I said before, the Torah paskins in this Machlokas. How does he paskin? He paskins like the sheet of Rabbi Lazar. Very strange. And he paskins that it's a Nanei HaKavod. So Bikri Yaakov points out that in other versions of the Machlokas, the Shitos are reversed. In the Torah's Kohanim and in the Mechilta, the Girsa is the Hepech, that Reb Lazar says Sukkos Mamish and Reb Akiva says Ananei HaKavod. So that would solve all the problems. Why Rashi says it that way, and why the Torah says it that way, why the Shulchan Aruch says it that way, but you have to assume that they're all relying on those other versions, not on the version that we have here in the Talmud Bavli. Okay, other Achronim deal with it in other ways as well, but not for now. So that's why they don't want to say like Rabba, that Leman Yedu doesn't mean about the structure of the Sukkah. Leman Yedu is historical Leman Yedu. You should remember what our forefathers did in the Midbar. Rabbi Zeira Nami Lo Amri. They don't want to assume like the Shita of Rabbi Zeira. And again, Rabbi Zeira was Shita number 2, who said that it's all about the Tzel, that it's all about the shade, because Ha'uli Yimosa Mashiach Hudachsev. When it talks about Tzel Sukkah, it's not talking about the Sukkah that we sit in on Yontif every year. It's talking about the Sukkahs we're going to sit in Yimosa Mashiach. That's what it's about. So that's why they don't want to say like Rabbi Zeira, because he's quoting a pasuk that has nothing to do with the Yontif of Sukkahs. Rabbi Zeira im kein leimakra v'chupa tiel etzal yomim. Rabbi Zeira says, no, why does he use the term sukkah? I know that the pasuk is generally about Yimos HaMashiach, but if it was only about Yimos HaMashiach, we would not have used the term sukkah. It would have said v'chupa tiel etzal yomim. My v'sukkah tiel etzal yomim, shami natarti. It must be teaching me not only about the sukkahs of Yimos HaMashiach, but also about the sukkahs of the Yom Tov of Sukkahs. Karava Nami Lo Amri, they also don't want to say like Rava, and again, Rava was the one that said that it's all about Diras Arai Mishum Koshiyad Abaye, because Abaye had a strong kasha on that. Abaye said, well, if you're so worried about Diras Arai, then if you make Mechitzos Shel Barzel, then your sukkah should be Pasul. So that was a strong kasha. So even though we had an answer to that kasha, they didn't like the answer. So the other two Amorim didn't like that answer, so they thought that Rava's teretz was not such a good teretz. Now it's interesting, Abaye didn't only reject Rava, Abaye also rejected Rabbi Zeira. When the Gemara says why the other Amoraim didn't want to say like Rabbi Zeira, it doesn't say because of Abaye's kasha. It says because they think the pasuk is not about sukkahs. Why not say because of Abaye's kasha? You make a sukkah between the two mountains, that according to Rabbi Zeira it should be no good. Right? So Tosus points that out, and Tosus says, Hada lo kamar mishum kushi ad Abaye, when we reject Rabbi Zeira, we don't say it's because of Abaye's kasha, kedukamar al Rava, like we do with Rava, mishum to Rabbi Zeira shani la Abaye shapir. Rabbi Zeira's defense of himself against Abaye was better than Rava's defense of himself against Abaye. So since Rabbi Zeira defended himself very well, we're no longer worried about Abaye's kasha and Rabbi Zeira. But Rava didn't defend himself so well, so we're still worried about Rava's about Abaye's kasha and Rava. Good. So that's why each one doesn't want to say like the other. Now says Gemara, Kemana Zahadam Rabbi Yoshia Amarav. We have a statement of Rabbi Yoshia Amarav. We have to figure out which of these three shitos it aligns with. Rabbi Yoshia Amarav says Machlokas. The whole Machlokas in our Mishnah, whether a sukkah that's more than 20 amos is kosher or not, is b'she'ein defanos magiyos l'schach. It's only if the walls don't reach all the way up to the height of the schach. But if the walls actually reach up to the full height of the schach, then even if it's more than 20 amos up, it's going to be kosher. So who does that align with? Which of the shitos as to the explanation of why lemal mechafama is a problem would this align with? So says Mark, Keman, Kerabba, it's clearly going like Rabba. What was Rabba's whole concern? That you're not going to even notice that the schach is there, because you're going to look at your walls and then you'll see air, then you'll see nothing. So you're not going to notice that your schach is there. But v'kiven the defanos magiyos the schach mishlo shel ba'eina. But when the walls reach all the way up to the schach, you'll keep on looking to see where the walls end. And once you see where the walls end, you'll see the schach. So that's why according to Rabba, even the chacham who say that a sukkah l'mal mechafam is pasul would agree that it's kosher if the walls go that high as well. If the walls reach all the way up to the schach, because then you'll see it and you won't have a problem of l'man yedu dorasechem. So that's one statement. What about the following statement of Rav Huna Amrav? Who does this align with? The Rav Huna Amrav says, Machlokas b'shein ba'ela arba amos al arba amos. The whole machlokas about a sukkah that's more than 20 amos tall is only if the sukkah is 4 by 4 amos in width and length. Aval yesh b'yoser me arba amos al arba amos. But if it's larger than that, afilu l'mal me'asum amok shera, then even more than 20 amos high is going to be kosher. So who's that going like? So command Rabbi Zeira, dar mishum tzelu, v'kivim d'Rav that must be going like Rabbi Zeira, because Rabbi Zeira assumes that it's a din in the shade, and since it's a wider sukkah, you're still going to have the tzel of the schach, even though the walls are very, very tall. So that aligns with Rabbi Zeira. Okay, a third statement, who does it align with? All three statements were in the name of Rav, but different Amarav. Who does Rav Chanan bar Rabba's statement Amarav go like? Where he says, that the whole machlokas about a sukkah that's more than 20 amos tall is only if the sukkah only holds a person and his table. It's only 7 by 7 tvachim. But if the sukkah is bigger, it holds more than just 7 by 7 tvachim, then it's going to be kosher even if it's more than 20 amos tall. So keman delo kechad. Who's that going like? That's going like nobody. So good. Says Gemara, Bishlam et Rabbi Yoshia, Pligad Rav Huna, Rav Chanan bar Rabba, Dinuka Yavishir b'mashcha, V'iloka Yavishir b'mashcha. I understand Rabbi Yoshia's statement about the walls reaching the schach. That's not like the other two statements we just quoted, where they make the machlokas dependent on how wide and long the sukkah is. Rabbi Yoshia doesn't think so. He doesn't think the machlokas depends on that at all. So he's not involved in that. So I understand that he disagrees with them. But maybe what Rav Huna and Rav Chanan bar Rabba are actually arguing about is what is the minimum size of a sukkah. Meaning maybe they both agree that the machlokas is only on the minimum size sukkah. Once you get beyond the tiniest sukkah possible, once you get any larger than the smallest possible sukkah, then it's automatically kosher even if it's l'mal mechaf ama. Maybe that's what they're both saying. They're just arguing about what is the minimum size sukkah. What is the smallest possible sukkah? Demar savar hechsher sukkah barba amos, that Rav Huna says that the hechsher sukkah is arba amos. Demar savar hechsher sukkah machzak is rosh of rubu v'shulchano. And Rav Chanan bar Rabba holds that the minimum size sukkah is 7 by 7 tvachim. So says more low. Dukuliyam hechsher sukkah rosh of rubu v'shulchano. Everyone might agree that the minimum size sukkah is 7 by 7 tvachim. V'hacha ba'akamithli. Over here the machlokas is as follows. Demar savar machzak is rosh of rubu v'shulchano pligi aval yoser mi rosh of rubu v'shulchano divrei kol ksheira. One opinion says that if it holds Rosh HaRuv Shulchano, that's where the machlokas is. But any bit larger than the minimum size is automatically kosher, even if it's l'mal l'mechaf hama. Umar Savar, but the other one holds, Rosh HaRuv Shulchano ad dalit amos pligi, that the machlokas is not only with the very tiniest size sukkah, the machlokas is any sukkah that's between the tiniest size and dalit amos. Aval yosmi dalit amos divrei kol ksheira, but if it's more than 4 amos, then everyone would hold that it's kosher. Then the Tanakama would also agree that l'mal mechaf am is kosher. Period. So now the Gemara is going to try to prove from a story with Hilani Amalka that the machlokas is even by a sukkah that's a very large sukkah in terms of its width and length. So how do we prove it? Says the Gemara, Meisvei. Sukkah shigval l'mal me'asr mamah psulav Rabbi Yehuda machshir adarbam v'chamisha mamah. A repeat of the machlokas we have in our Mishnah, where the Tanakama says that any more than 20 amos is no good, and Rabbi Yehuda says that could be way more than that, except it gives a number here, even 40, 50 amos, which many of the Rishonim say means as high as you want it to be. It could be however high you want it, according to Rabbi Yehuda, no problem. Amr Rabbi Yehuda tries to prove his point though in this price. Maisa be'Elani Amalka. There's a story with Elani Amalka Belud in the town of Lud. She'isa sukasa gavah me'asr mama. Her sukkah was more than 20 amos tall. Va'yizakenim nichnasim v'yelsin l'sham v'lo amr la'davar. And the rabbis kept on visiting, going in and out all day long, and no one said a word to her. So amr lo, so don't you see that you're allowed to have a sukkah that's more than 20 amos tall? Says Rabbi Yehuda to the Rabbanan. So say the Rabbanan back. Amr lo, the Rabbanan say back to Rabbi Yehuda, that's not a raya. Misham raya. Isha is a sukkah. Hilani Amalka is a woman. A woman is pata from sukkah. Why would they say anything to her? She could sit in her house for all they care. So says Gemara Amar Lahen, Rabbi Yehuda says back, V'alo shiva banim havula. She wasn't alone. She had 7 sons. V'od kol ma'asel lo asel al pi chachamim. And furthermore, everything she did, she only did al pi lechachamim. So lamli l'misim v'od kol ma'asel lo asel al pi chachamim. Once you say that she had 7 sons, why do you have to add that she always did everything al pi lechachamim? We get it. There are 7 sons. She had to be in a kashra sukkah. So says Gemara Hachi Kamalu, where Rabbi Yehuda's point was as follows. Ki tamru banim ketanim hayu ketanim p'tur min asuka. given the shiva havu yeftavu buchad sheinu tzarich limo. Granted that katanim are pata from sukkah, but if she had seven of them and there were, let's assume there weren't any quintuplets in the mix, so if there are seven of them, it must be that that at least the oldest one was no longer tzarich limo and was therefore chayv midinei chinuch to be in a sukkah. V'chi tamer katan sheinu tzarich limo midrabanan hu demechayv v'i bidrabanan lo mashkecha. And if we'll say, yeah, chinuch, that's only drabanan, maybe she wasn't so worried about that. No, tashma vod kol ma'aseh lo'aseh al pi chachamim. So you should realize, says Rabbi Yehuda to the Rabbanan, that she did everything al pi chachamim, so clearly she was interested in making sure that he fulfills the requirement of chinuch. So we haven't yet gotten to Araya. We're still going to try to prove that a very tall sukkah is that the machlokas is even by a larger sukkah when it's the machlokas of a sukkah l'malam michafam applies even by a sukkah that's large. So says Mar Bishlam, man yom shein defanus magiyos l'schach machlokas darker shemakal leishu b'sukkah shein defanus magiyos l'schach mishamavira. I understand very well if you say the whole machlokas is about walls that don't reach the ceiling, so you could say that a queen was sitting in such a sukkah because that's nice and airy and wonderful. El manim b'sukkah katana machlokas, but if the whole machlokas is only by the tiniest sukkah, by dalet amos al dalet amos, or by seven tvachim, v'chidarka shel malka leish b'sukkah katana, is that what was going on over here? This whole machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chum, where Rabbi Yehuda is trying to prove his point from the sukkah of Eloni Amalka, if the whole machlokas is only by the tiniest sukkah, do you really think Eloni Amalka was sitting in the tiniest sukkah? How could this whole machlokas play out in the sukkah of Eloni Amalka? That is the Gemara's raya. So we'll get to the Gemara's answer, Bez Hashem, tomorrow. We'll discuss a little more about Eloni Amalka. A lot of halachas of chinuch that Rishonim derived from this story with Eloni Amalka.